buttons and praise the Lord. Is that exciting? Those testimonies great? Praise the Lord. I got on the map there and I looked. We didn't hear anything. I'm sitting, oh my gosh, look how close they are. And then you hear this wonderful, wonderful praise report. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I heard the little sound for the recording of the video. Okay, we're going to get going here. This is going to be part two of Blessed by God. And I want to be sensitive to the Lord here. How many of you know that we need to understand a little bit more of what God has blessed us with? And we need to know how that blessing, when that blessing came, and who it was first conferred upon. And hopefully before we end here this evening, we're going to see how God conferred blessings in the Old Testament and how it was conferred to us through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So we're going to go ahead and open up right now in prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for understanding of all we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that we get a greater understanding of that which you have placed within us, Lord God, in our spirits, because of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord God, to access and to live, well, to know, then to access, Lord God, and then to experience what your word clearly says concerning our place and position in Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, just to hear this, and then we'll back up to verse 3, and then we'll take it from there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So not only was this letter written to them, but anybody who is faithful or who has put their faith and is remaining true to that faith in Christ Jesus, so that applies to us. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said last week, you'll notice that this word blessed, it comes from the same root word, but it's used in three different ways, the same word three different ways in this one verse. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons or children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him, or in Jesus, we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness, the pardon, the release, the liberty, and the freedom of sins, according to the riches or the lavishness of his grace. Isn't that wonderful, just hearing that? It's just. Any of you gone to see the movie Overcomer? And remember in that movie Overcomer, it's at the movie theater right now. The girl, after she came to know Jesus, after the school principal prayed for her, she told her to go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, and make a list of who she was in Christ Jesus. And it's just so cool when you start seeing her, you know, reading it, and they kind of like do like a little yellow highlighter of it, and then she starts jotting down this wonderful list of who she is in Jesus Christ, finding out her true identity. And I really believe that we're going to have a season here in the near future of learning to further grasp our understanding of our identity in Jesus Christ. But now I want to back up here. I want to back up here to verse 3 and look at these three different, this word blessed, in verse 3, the three times that is used. As you see, the first time that is used, it's referring, Paul is writing, and Paul has an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done. Paul has an understanding of God's great love in Jesus Christ. Paul has a huge understanding of the totality of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And from that place, he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he starts out, when you take your time and look up this word blessing, as with a lot of words, it's you have to know how the word is being used to know what part of the definition that you should use. And part of the word bless, especially in this case here, it means adoration and it means praise. It means one uses their mouth to give adoration and praise to because of what was given. So you find the more that you have an understanding of what God's word says, what Jesus Christ has done, and what he has done on your behalf, you find yourself increasing in your adoration, your praise, and your thanksgiving to God when these mysteries and these truths are made known to you. So Paul is just, he's just starting out this verse saying, "Blessed be God." I mean, he understands who he was, he understands what Jesus did, and he understands what God did in Christ to reconcile Paul, the sinner Saul, who became Paul, and placed him in Christ and Christ in him. He has an understanding of this, and he just can't help but to say, all my adoration and my praise and as much as I possibly can with my mouth, I want it to be made known how much I love and adore God for what he has done on my behalf through his son, Jesus Christ. And that should be also a part of our life. When we have an understanding of these other two blessings here, then our adoration and our praise and our talking favorably, the word, it also means to speak well of, to speak in favor of. So we should always have something favorable or well to speak of or about God. Amen? And so he goes on here to say this next part here. He says, who has blessed us. So Paul is saying here to all these people, they don't understand yet all who they are in Jesus Christ, but Paul is saying a past tense. So something has already been bestowed upon them, something has already been given to these people and all the faithful in Christ Jesus, meaning you. So there is something that Paul is giving thanks to God for, he's worshiping God for, on behalf of something that's already been deposited in these people in Ephesus and everybody in Christ Jesus. The problem that we have is we don't know all these things. The problem, we don't know how to access it. We don't even know that God has actually spoken his adoration and his love and his well-speaking over us. How many of you have ever taken a thought that God speaks well of you, that God thinks great of you? And, you know, for some of us, you're like, really? See, the cool part was, when it goes on here to say this next part, it says, who has blessed us, past tense, with every. What is not covered in every? Every means a totality. It means there's nothing missing. It's the all-encompassing. So whatever there is of a promise, whatever there is of a blessing, whatever there is of the favor of God or the provision of God, whatever there is of God intended for our lives, nothing has been withheld from you because of any past action. I can go ahead and say that nothing is withheld from you from any present action. We may have a problem accessing it, but it's still been given to us. Okay, so when we find out what God's word says concerning his favor, concerning his provision, concerning his joy, concerning his peace, concerning his love, and we are not just accessing it like we should be, then all we have to do is go before him and say, what's going on here? And you know what? The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, is so faithful to show us. You think that God wants you in right standing or out of standing? He wants us in standing. So he really desires more than anything to reveal something to us to get us right back where we need to be. Yes? And so, you know, when we look at these things, who has blessed us with every, it speaks of all manner, nothing excluded, everything that is needed of every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's very important here that you have an understanding of in Christ. If I was to ask you a question, is Jesus Christ blessed? Does Jesus have everything he needs? Is there anything that Jesus doesn't have? Is there anything that Jesus is not over? If we think of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, is there any provision in heaven or the kingdom of God that is not accessible to Jesus Christ? Every one of those answers, we're going to say no. He has access to everything. He is everything. If you think about it, he is the blessed one himself. Matter of fact, there are passages in the scriptures. Where did I write those down at, Lord? Where are the passages that talk about, let my eyes fall on them? One, two, three. Okay. There are passages in the Word of God, and I'm just going to have to remember where they're at, so let's just let my mind do some remembering here. I think the very first one, since I'm not seeing it on the page here, so let's just go to when Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth, and what Elizabeth says about Mary and about what's taking place in Mary's womb. It says right here in Luke chapter 1, and it happened, verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe, that the babe in her womb, that the babe leapt, which I believe was John, in her womb leapt, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women," speaking a blessing or invocation of a blessing upon Mary. And what does it also say here? Blessed is what? The fruit of your womb, speaking directly about Jesus. There's another place most of us know. On Palm Sunday, there's a passage of Scripture that most people read from Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus is on a donkey, on a fold of a colt, and he is coming into town. And Matthew 21, verse 8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them over the road. Then the multitudes who went out before and those who followed cried out this, 'Hosanna.'" What does Hosanna mean? "Lord, save now." "Hosanna, son of David, blessed, speaking of who's the blessed one, Jesus, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Verse 10, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Who is this? So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee.'" So here we have Mary's cousin speaking that Jesus is the blessed one in her womb. We have here a group of people that are attributing this verse here from Psalm 118, attributing it to Jesus, that he is that blessed, promised one to redeem mankind. And there's another one over here in Revelation chapter 5. I'm just trying to make sure within your spirit, all of us know, we all can say that we know Jesus is the blessed of God. Amen? We all know that. But do you know where to find it in Scripture? A lot of times, well, how do you know he's the blessed of God? You should know where it is in Scripture where Jesus is called the blessed of God. In the womb, on the way into Jerusalem, after his death, resurrection, and ascension, and right there at the right hand of the Father, Revelation chapter 5, it says, "And they sang a new song," verse 9. Who's the worthy one? Jesus is the worthy one. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain." Who was the one who was slain? Jesus Christ. "What did he do? And have redeemed us to God." How? "By his blood. Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders. The number of them was 10,000, was 10,000 times 10 thousands of thousands of thousands." Now, that's a big number to multiply. Okay? And this is what they were saying with a loud voice. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." So Jesus, what he has done on our behalf, Our life should be, there should be regular thank yous. There should be regular expression of gratitudes that just come from our lips. Not because we have to, but we realize, I realize, and we should all realize, that no matter what place we find ourselves in, even if we just had our salvation, if we just had our salvation, knowing that if the only good thing that we ever received from God was the forgiveness of sins and became children of God, and that we have an eternity that we will spend with God and not in hell, that's enough to praise Him throughout all eternity. Just that alone. Not even knowing all the wonderful promises and the teachings and all these other things that the Lord, that God the Father has bestowed upon us. Now, I did say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Okay? So everything, all that Jesus Christ has done, He has become the blessed one. And everything, the Word of God tells us in Philippians chapter 2, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it says in that same passage, everything that's in heaven, everything that's on the earth, and everything that's under the earth shall bow their knee and pay homage to Him. So it lets us know that He has what? The total dominion, authority, and power. It says all of that is in Christ. Every resource of the kingdom of God, Jesus has available to Him. Now remember Colossians 1:27. When the Apostle Paul said this was a mystery that was hidden from the ages. And this is the mystery that was hidden from the ages. Not only was God going to redeem a people, but God was going to come live with inside that people. Not just among them, in them. What does it say that mystery is? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now wait a second. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Blessed. Past tense, God's favor has been bestowed upon us from the realm in which He lives in, which is the heavenly realm or the unseen realm. That word heavenly is also used in, I think it's Matthew 18, where it talks about Father in heaven or your Father in heaven. So depending on how that word is used, it makes reference to either the spiritual realm or the very realm where God Himself inhabits or lives, heaven. And it says that we have been blessed with everything that is in God's presence. Wait a second, who's in God's presence? Who's immediately at His right hand? Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus has power and authority over, every aspect about Jesus' life, His character, His nature, His demeanor, His insight, His wisdom, His knowledge. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:30, that God has made unto us in Jesus Christ wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It says that all these things are in Christ and have been bestowed upon us. But this verse, that verse that we just got through looking at, it says the mystery hidden from the ages, Christ in you. So let me ask you this. If Jesus is the blessed one, which He is, if Jesus has access to everything in the kingdom of God, which He does, if Jesus has all authority and all power, which He does, of everything in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, that means over every darkness that there is, over the devil, the combined force of the devil, demons, fallen angels, it doesn't matter how great the negative power is, it says that His name is far superior, who He is far superior than anything else. Well, wait a second. The mystery hidden from the ages is Christ in you. So that same Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father dwells in you by the Holy Spirit. That everything that is in Christ is also in you now. It's a part of our lives. It's just that we haven't learned really to access all that Christ is. See, when I say Christ, see, there's a reason why He says Christ in you, the hope of glory. He didn't say Jesus in you, the hope of glory. At times when He's referring to the Christ, He's pointing back to the Messiah who came. But He's pointing back at the time that He became the anointed Messiah, which goes back to the River Jordan, which goes back to where John baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan, and He comes up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descends upon Him, and He receives the anointing of the Holy Spirit on His life for ministry. And so when it refers to Christ, it's referring to that time in Jesus' life when He became identified as the Christ manifest with the power of the Holy Spirit, indicating to us when we got saved and received the Holy Spirit, the same anointing of Jesus now abides on us. But you know why it's even greater? Doesn't Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, before verse 17, where it talks about if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Before the verse, a verse before that, it says, we no longer know him according to the flesh. It's nice to know what Jesus did. I love reading the Gospels. Every one of us love reading the Gospels. We love to see the Son of God manifest the authority and power that he had over all flesh. Wasn't that great? Isn't that great to read that? And even in John 17, Jesus, when he talks to the Father, he even makes reference to the authority that he had when he was here on the earth. And this is what he says here. In John 17, he's speaking this prayer to the Father. Father, the hour has come. Verse 1, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over how much flesh? All flesh. There wasn't anything when Jesus walked this earth that did not have a body that he did not have authority over. That's why he's able to command demons to come out of people. That's why he's able to cause sicknesses to leave and raise people from the dead. He had the authority over all flesh. Now, wait a second here. That's great. But the Apostle Paul says, we no longer know Jesus after the flesh or according to the flesh. So how are we supposed to know Jesus? The resurrected, all-conquering Jesus. Because at this time, when he's the resurrected, all-conquering Jesus, he faced sin and defeated sin. He faced the devil and defeated the devil. He faced temptation and he defeated temptation. He faced death and he defeated death. He faced hell, as the Word of God tells us in Acts chapter 2, Peter's first sermon, first message. Got to be careful, sermon sometimes. Woo, okay. It says this about him. It's talking about a prophecy that these prophecies were not spoken of David, that they were spoken of Jesus Christ. And I'll pick it up here in verse 29 of Acts chapter 2. Men and brethren, let me speak freely of you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. That they could actually go and say, there's David's bones in there. So these prophecies do not refer to David. They refer to the fruit that will come through David's lineage. Okay? That's what Peter was trying to say. Therefore, being a prophet, David being a prophet, or he spoke prophetically, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that to David, that the fruit of his body, or the fruit of David's body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Not David to sit on the throne, but raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not be left in Hades, or his soul would not be left in hell, nor did his flesh see corruption. In other words, it just didn't decay and fall apart like David. You know, he was referring to David, that his tomb is among us and his bones are here. There's no flesh left on it, it's just a bunch of bones there. Jesus Christ did not see that, because in verse 32, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So we have a Jesus who faced everything that we faced on the earth. He faced death and overcame death. He faced hell and was raised from the dead, and now raised and ascended to sit on the Father's right hand. He not only has authority over all flesh, but as I said earlier in Philippians chapter 2, he has authority of everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything under the earth. So he has a greater dominion and a greater authority now. That's why Paul says we no longer know him according to the flesh. Wouldn't we just like to come up with what he did according to the flesh, though? And so Paul is trying to elevate our thinking of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ lives in you. He said, this is what you've been blessed with. You've been blessed with all that Jesus did, all that Jesus secured, all that Jesus is. He dwells within you. Can we not say, blessed be God? I mean, just that alone should just cause us a spiritual excitement on the inside of us to realize that Every spiritual blessing in Christ, every spiritual blessing in Christ has been bestowed upon us. And when you take your time, and I challenged you last week to begin looking up that word spiritual, because a lot of times when you look up that word spiritual, it does refer, this word comes from the Greek word, which is pneuma, and this one is pneuma kikos, and the main word is pneuma, which is spirit, and most of us know Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's where the word comes from. It comes from the spiritual person of who God is and of who the Holy Spirit is. It speaks of that living part of us that really makes up who we are. That living part of us who really makes up who we are. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul lists the three parts of our being. I'll just go ahead and read up there. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Okay, so right here, the Word of God is letting us know that all three parts of our life can be sanctified or separated from all that is not of God and be united with everything that is of God. Okay, I'm trying to bring the word sanctify. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, set apart unto God. Means holy, to live a holy life. But if I share it like this, that God wants to remove from us or cause every aspect of our life that is not of Him to be no longer part of our life, so that our entire life can be joined to Him and experience all that God is. Isn't that a whole lot better understanding? So can you agree with me today that there's parts of your life that are not sanctified or they're not completely on God's side? He wants to set us free from that. Isn't that nice? So that we can have and to be set apart or be united with God in every area of our life. That makes a whole lot more sense to me. But he says here, look what he says here. Spirit. Okay, the day that you got saved, your spirit was sanctified. Your spirit was made holy. Your spirit was united with God. That's the day when you were born again. The Word of God, what does it say? I mean, Paul gives us, I mean, we read the Gospels, we just see the natural thing that happened. We just see Jesus dying in a tomb, resurrected the third day, talking to his disciples a little bit, giving them the commission, and whoop, up they go. But God, Jesus Christ, he says, Paul says, the revelation that I received in Galatians chapter 1, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it by man. It came by revelation of Jesus Christ. And so all of what we have contained here with the Apostle Paul is spiritual revelation that Jesus taught him. So when we think of this one here, what immediately happened to us the moment you said yes to Jesus, the moment you knew you were born again, the moment you repented of your sins and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said something spiritually happened to you. There was a spiritual transference. And this is what he says here in Colossians chapter 1. That we should be giving thanks, verse 12, we should be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. How did God qualify us to be partakers of the inheritance? He has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness and translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When? When did that transfer happen? When did I go from being a soul, a spirit that was separated from God, to being a spirit that was united by God and having all the blessings of God immediately bestowed upon me? The next verse, in Him, in whom or in Jesus, this is when it happened. We have redemption through His blood. That moment that you received the forgiveness of sins. See, isn't that cool? That moment right then and there. There was an immediate transfer of you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The moment you were transferred there, every blessing that is in Christ Jesus is in you. It was just given to you there. It's like having a huge treasure chest and having no idea that we've been given this treasure chest. Yet alone how to access it, yet alone how to open it up and find out what God has given to us. And there's so many of us that some of the things I'm saying here is, yeah, that's all good, but I'm really not tasting of a whole lot of that right now. But we got to learn how to taste of it. We got to learn. But if you don't have an understanding that God has invoked this already upon you, that God has already spoken it up, when Jesus resurrected and his blood, when he himself and his blood was accepted in heaven, and that place of sitting at the right hand of God, meaning it was completely done, everything that you set out to do, Jesus, was completely finished, you now have a seat at my right hand. The right hand conveys all of God's strength, all of God's blessing, all that God is. When it talks about the arm of the Lord being revealed, or the arm of the Lord laid bare, sitting at his right hand, all that the Father is, all that the Father has, every attribute, every character, every disposition of himself transmitted, or Jesus has equal. He is equal to it at his right hand. The moment he sat down, it was the acknowledgement. There was the receiving of the blood of Jesus. It was receiving everything that he had done. And now he is seated in that forever blessed position as God the Son. It was finished on the cross. And if you read through the book of Hebrews, his blood was delivered up there and had to be received in heaven. Have a seat, son. Welcome home. Welcome back. Jesus just couldn't wait to get there. But the cool part is, the moment you said yes to Jesus, everything that the Father has conveyed to Jesus, because it does tell us that there's coming a time that everything, all the position that Jesus has, it's like the it is finished when it becomes the it is done in Revelation chapter 1. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15 where it says that he's like, okay, it's done. I submit it all back to you. It's so cool. God gives it all to Jesus. And then when the new heavens and the new earth, then he all gives it right back to God. That's just so neat. It's just so neat how they just are just so. It's like God's not sitting there on a power trip. Well, I don't know if I should give him so much power. I know we're equal. I know we're the same. It's just, you know it's so nice. But when you see the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, none of them are on a power trip. And none of them know that when one says anything, that the other is always going to agree. When one thing is communicated, they all agree. When one thing is spoken, they all agree. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can you imagine Jesus saying something? And the Father, hey, no, don't say that, Jesus. This is like, oh, that's my son. He always does what he's supposed to do. And this is where that verse that I was telling you in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me just read it so you have a reference. It says, 1 Corinthians 15, I know it's here, right side. Don't have it in my notes, so my eyes will fall upon it. Okay. It says, okay, it talks about who we were. For in Adam all die. So every one of us outside of Jesus, we are spiritually dead and separated from God. Amen? Even so in Christ, the moment you said yes to Jesus, all shall be made alive. That's the day that you became spiritually alive. That's the day you were transferred from the authority or for the kingdom of darkness, and you were translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But each one in his own order. He's here referring to resurrection now. Everyone in his own order. Christ the first fruits. He was the very first example of one resurrected from the dead. Everybody understand that Jesus wasn't just raised from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. When a person is just raised from the dead, their body dies again. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus was raised from the dead, he grew old and died again. A lot of times it says Jesus was raised from the dead, but we have to also realize that when the person is writing that, they're speaking about resurrection. Jesus received a resurrected body, no more to die. Okay? Make sure you have that understanding. So he's the first fruit of the resurrection. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. So it talks about next, the next event's going to happen, is for all of us, when Jesus Christ comes for us, it says right here, at his coming, that when he calls, when that final trumpet blows, whew, the dead in Christ will rise first. If we happen to be alive when that happens, can you just imagine? Okay, how fast can we? Everybody go like that. Faster than that. I mean, just it's absolutely crazy. You know, I remember when I went to visit my dad in Puerto Rico, my little half-brother, he was young, and I kept doing this to him. Like, you know, I don't know how many times I did it. And my dad came home from work, and he thought Richard had an eye disease. I mean, for hours he was going like this. And okay, that's just something. Then I had to confess that I did it. And what's the matter? You shouldn't have done that, Mark. You're going to give him a condition. I don't think so, but okay. But just as fast as we are able to go like that, faster than that, it says in a twinkling of an eye. So however a twinkle can happen in an eye, just think, you're in this present condition, and then in a twinkle, in a blink of an eye, you've got a resurrected body, no more to die. That's the next event. That's the next major event. The first major event was Jesus Christ and his resurrection, the giving of the Holy Spirit, boom. Then a body no more to die that will be immortal, always living with God. And then it says, then comes the end. Okay, so there's that process there. This one little part of this verse, there's a lot contained. This comes the end. Got that whole millennial age. Okay, it says, then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority. He delivers the kingdom to the Father. See that there? He delivers the kingdom to God the Father when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till when he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And most of you know we've spent enough time in the past in Revelation chapter 20, I believe it's verse 14 or 15. It says that's when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire and everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. That is the final end of all rule and authority. That is contrary or that is against the kingdom of God. And at that time, it's like Jesus delivers the kingdom. It's all been done. Because I think in Revelation 21, there's the, it is done. It talks about no more pain, no more death, no more crying. God wipes away our tears. Isn't that pretty cool? That we have a picture here of, in just a couple verses, of where everything is headed. And it's all backed up in the book of Revelation. So trying to get an understanding here this evening of this, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So it's available to every one of us. God's favor, God's goodness, God speaks well of, God even, he speaks acceptance, love, promises, and praise over us. The same way that the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, he looks at every one of you the same way, with the same love and the same blessing as he bestowed upon Jesus, he bestows upon you in Jesus. And where does Jesus live? He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. I think it's 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, looking at this subject of being blessed, we all acknowledge that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, but do we acknowledge the complete and total blessing and authority and character of the one who lives within us is also our blessing, our authority, and our character? You see, we have to start depending upon what God has conveyed upon us. And the same way that it has been, the Word of God has conveyed this blessing on us. The Word of God speaks this. That's why when we read the revelation that Paul received from Jesus Christ, and we begin to, as some of you have been doing, you've been praying that prayer for spiritual enlightenment and to grow in the love of God from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, because those are the things that the Father bestows upon you that he wants you to believe for yourself and he wants you to invoke over yourself, because Paul wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ, that you would experience the answer to those prayers within your life. It's God's spoken blessing over you through the Apostle Paul. Does that make sense? Okay, now, let's see how God does this. Real quick here, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, the first time that we have here as God is separating a people unto himself, as a race unto himself through one man, and God invokes a blessing here. And this is God himself speaking this invoked blessing upon Abram, who becomes Abraham. And so let's look at this invoked blessing that God now speaks. In Genesis, oh goodness here. Okay, I think I'll do this one. So let's look at the first one here. In Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who curse you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Okay, let's go over here to the next page, or the next chapter, chapter 13. Lot leaves. Abram is by himself. In verse 14 of Genesis 13, it says, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." The literal translation for that word descendants is seed. "I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through it, through its length and width, for I give it to you." I'm wanting you to hear that God himself is speaking to a man by the name of Abram, and he's speaking and invoking blessings. If we could just come away with just a little bit something today, we have to be more inclined to bless each other than to speak about each other the wrong way. We have to be more inclined to speak favorably. The word blessing, it also means to speak well of. You know, you heard me say adoration. You heard me say praise. It means to speak well of. We need to begin to make sure that we're allowing more of adoration, more of lifting somebody up, more of speaking well over somebody. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat its fruit. It said eat its fruit either way. And if there's too much garbage coming out of our mouth, there is fruit to the garbage. We're told in Galatians chapter 6, he says there's two types of sowing in Galatians chapter 6. There's a sowing to the flesh and a sowing to the spirit. And guess what? And each one will receive its crop. And so why don't we like, whoa, wait a second here. Do I want a crop for some of the garbage that I'm coming out of my mouth? Do I want the sack of garbage that's coming out of my mouth to become a dump? Because the seed of the sack is going to what? Be pressed down. In your bosom, pressed down, shaken together. It talks about just expanding. So you see this wall. That wasn't too bad what I said about so-and-so. That's a seed that turns into a plant, and that plant has fruit, and that within that fruit are a lot more seeds, and it just grows. Or do we want to speak? It says, he that sows to the flesh, in Galatians chapter 6, he who sows or plants to the flesh will of or from the flesh reap corruption. In other words, that which will take you further away. When you think of the word corruption, think of your life being corrupted in the way that you're thinking, the way that you're viewing life, even how you're viewing God, that you're getting a wrong view of God, you're getting a wrong view of his promises, you're getting a wrong view of who you are in Jesus Christ, and you are being corrupted, and you are beginning to move away from that which God has spoken over you. And it says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap or harvest eternal life, or continue to experience the life that God is and that the life that God has and that life that he's placed within you. If you compare the two, I think it's a very easy choice. Right? Okay, so once again, it's us. So we see here how God spoke these things over Abram. And over here, one of the other ones here is Genesis 15, since we're right here. So just go from 13, 14 to 15. And Abraham thinks that it's going to be Eliezer, his servant, that's going to be the one who's going to inherit everything. And it says in verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying, this one will not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body will be your heir. You see, not just Isaac who brought laughter into their family between him and Sarah, but God's looking all the way down through the lineage and knowing Jesus that's in his presence right then when he's saying this. He's looking all the way down that there's a seed coming because it's, I believe it's in Galatians 3:16, and that seed is Christ. Looking all the way down through the lineage. So when God spoke that blessing, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, he was speaking of the coming of Jesus to deal with the sin problem so people can be redeemed from their sin and become his seed. To have the seed of Christ placed within you and become a child of the living God. Isn't that beautiful? And he goes on here to tell him, verse 5, then he brought him outside the tent, outside where he was at. Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. He believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So we have this pattern that we see in God's word, how God himself spoke and invoked blessings. And we have to also realize that even when Jacob secured the blessing the wrong way. Remember, he disguised himself as his brother Esau. His mom said, okay, I know exactly the way that your dad likes his food. Esau's going out there with his bow and arrow, trying to look for that morsel of meal to prepare to come back in and slay that animal, gut that animal, clean that animal, fillet that animal, cook that animal the way that the father wants it. And his mom already knows what to do. Covers Jacob up with hairiness and like a skin of an animal, and cooks the meal, and Jacob goes in there. You might say, well, how in the world was Jacob able to do that and get away with it? Let me just say this. When the blessing's been invoked, it cannot be taken away. When Isaac spoke that blessing over Jacob, even though that he did it underhandedly, and Esau came later and said, is there not a blessing for me? He goes, I've made your brother your ruler. What I have said cannot be taken back. It's there. That should give every one of us hope, because we came to Jesus the right way. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we think because we've messed up one time or have sinned and, oh, God's snatching it away. What God has blessed will not be revoked. Now, we may not have all the rewards that God wants to bestow upon us. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, and yet their soul will be saved. And it talks about them having on their foundation wood, hay, and stubble, indicating they didn't do much with the life that they had been given in Jesus Christ. But the very foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and the very gift that was given was eternal life, and yet their souls shall be saved. As Pastor Bill said, we don't want to be crab Christians, just kind of getting in there sideways. You know, if you notice, crabs go sideways. They don't walk usually forward. And that's when he always said, you don't want to be a crab Christian. You want gold, silver, and precious stones on your foundation. You want to be used of God. You want to be hearing from God, knowing God, walking with God, understanding your place and position in Jesus Christ, speaking with him, hearing from him, being used of him in ministry, ready for his return, growing spiritually. But we won't have time to look at it here this evening. I'll just say this real quick. In Genesis chapter 27, maybe I can just read you the blessing that Esau got that was intended for, that Jacob got, that Esau wanted. And he just tells him in verse 24 of Genesis 27, I mean, here's Jacob lying. He says, because Isaac is asking Jacob, are you really Esau? Are you really my son Esau? And he, or Jacob, said, I am. Liar. Right? And then the father says in verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. Can you just imagine him grabbing hold of him just to see, you know, just to see what he smelt like and felt like? And he smelt, and the smelling of his clothing. And it says, and he blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you the dew of heaven of the fatness of the earth, the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons or children bow down to you. Cursed is everyone who curses you, and blessed is everyone who blesses you. Now, you have to have an understanding here. Remember, the dad was blind. The dad had the responsibility of knowing who it was, even though that he was deceived. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is not deceived. God knows who he's blessing. And when he sees the moment that your heart and my heart, every one of us here, the moment you said yes to Jesus, the invoked blessing of God that was invoked upon Jesus Christ was invoked upon your life by God himself. And you need to make sure that you have an understanding this evening. He knew exactly who he was speaking to when he invoked it in Jesus, knowing that he'd be invoking it upon you. God sees you as the blessed of the Lord. And Paul was able to say, Paul knew who he was, but he also knew the forgiveness that he had received for what he had done. And it's just kind of mind-blowing, like, why in the world would you even want to do that? Because that's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves you. And that's how much God loves me. He couldn't wait to invoke upon us all that Jesus Christ himself had done and received on our behalf. And the moment you said yes, boom, it was like it was placed immediately in your spirit. Immediately in your spirit. And it's just because when you get transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, you have every attribute, every aspect, every blessing of that kingdom that you've been transferred in. And that's what you have to start realizing. Wow, that God transferred all of that to me. That is mine. That is my place that I have in Jesus Christ. And you should know these things, and you should be completely enthralled by the truth that you are now. Jesus is that promised seed. That promised seed, it says you were born by God. I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says you were born of God by the incorruptible seed. When that gospel was preached to you and you said, yes, that seed of God, that incorruptible seed of the very nature and character of God was placed within your spirit, and you were born of God. And everything that is in Christ is in you right now. And God has freely bestowed that upon you. He has freely, as if when God was speaking these things himself, when he spoke these things over Abraham, you have to realize that God speaks them over you. And what I want to close with this evening, most of us know the parable of the lost son. We call it the prodigal son, Luke 15. And we know that he went out and lived prodigally. He took his inheritance. He was very blessed, and he went out and squandered it. But when he found himself eating with the pigs, it said he came to himself, and he says, even the servants in my father's house even eat better than I do. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my dad. I'm going to go home and just become one of his hired servants. Repentance came into his heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The moment he repented, he didn't become a hired servant. He came right back into the full. When he came down the road, it says the father saw him, ran to him, gave him the ring, gave him the slippers, gave him the robe, gave him the authority, the gospel. It says we are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that separates us from this world, the blood of Jesus Christ that is separated from this world, and we are wrapped in the robe of righteousness. He was completely restored to the right position. But his older brother had a problem with this because the father made merry, threw a party, killed the fatted calf, and the brother was bent out of shape. I'm not going to that party. He went out there and did all this stuff. You need to hear what the father said to the son. Because what the father said to the son is a truth that you and I need to hear before we leave this evening. Luke 15. Now, if we could go away with this truth in Luke 15, I'll pick it up at verse 28. Well, actually, verse 27, he says, you know, he's trying to tell the son, you know, your brother has come. And because he has received him, because he had received him safe and sound, the servant's telling this to the older brother, your brother has come. And because he received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. The older son, this is his response. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. Sometimes we've walked with the Lord a long time, and we see somebody coming back that's getting blessed, or it just, you know, sometimes we know of a person that says, they just ask God, and God just seems to give it. What about me? You know, you ever seen people being blessed by God, and you kind of wonder, what's up? Where's mine? Sometimes we don't realize that at times we even carry bitterness against God because we see other people's lives getting blessed, or this person who's gone out there in the world, and they went out there in the world. And they come back, and oh, guess what? I repented, the Lord's showing me this, and the Lord's teaching me this, and I'm getting all this revelation, and you're like, hey, how about a little trickle here? You know? See, because we've lost sight of something. We've lost sight of what this young brother is experiencing has always been there for us to experience. We've just got used. We got used to sometimes the household. We've just got used to things. And we no longer put our faith out there in what God has. Listen what he says. Listen what the father responds. Verse 30, but as soon as this son of yours, just because so-and-so came back and repented, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. He didn't even look at the repentant heart. He didn't look at he wanted to become a hired servant. He didn't look at any of those things. Listen. Listen, listen, verse 32. Oh no, verse 31. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. Do you hear that today? You're never alone. God is always with you. He doesn't leave you nor forsake you. No matter how difficult something goes, you may think he's far away, but he's not far away. He's always with you. Let that sink in. You are not far from God. God is with you. You are always with me. And this is what you need to hear of the invoked blessing upon your life as a believer in Jesus. And all that I have is yours. This is what you need to let settle within your spirit. All that God is and all that God has is yours. It's just that we don't know. Sometimes we get busy with life. I got to do my Bible reading. I need to go to church. I do this on Wednesday. And sometimes we forget about the relationship. We understand we're part of the body of Christ, but we're missing relationships. We're missing fellowship. We're missing spending time with the Father, understanding all that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. You're always with me, and all that I have is yours. That is one of the greatest invocations, spoken blessings that each and every one of us could hear this evening. Val, he's always with you. And all that he has is yours. So that we should be able to say, you know, my father is always with me. And all that he has, especially in Christ Jesus, is mine. That's not prideful. That is just speaking the place and position that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And Paul had an understanding of that place. Blessed. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For I know that I always have God with me. And all that God is, and all that God has is also mine. Because the Word of God tells me in Galatians chapter 4, in Romans chapter 8, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I'm an heir, or I inherit God Himself in Jesus' name. Amen. We got to get that picture. You got to get that picture that you're a beloved child of God. He has welcomed you into his presence, and all that he is and all that he has is yours. The key that we need to start doing is finding out what that is and begin living in the truth of these realities. Amen? Isn't that pretty cool?